Man, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6 is where we'll be at tonight. And I just think that it's fun to have props up here to kind of get us thinking a little bit. And I know all of us are visual people, so when we see things, we remember them better. How many of y'all are just big kids at heart? Okay, good. Some of y'all didn't raise your hand. I think you probably are too. You're just kind of scared to admit it. Before I left my house today, I kind of wanted to get this thought across from us. So I just grabbed a couple things that kids enjoy. So toys. All of us like toys, don't we? Amen. Now, when you're a little kid, for instance, my daughter likes anything she can grab onto, especially if it's her brother's and they yell whenever she tries to take it. But I brought a couple toys here just to kind of get a point across. This is a little laptop that Kelsey just absolutely adores, all right? And for some of y'all, your toy is a bigger laptop, but it's still a laptop. That's a toy for you, all right? I never quite understood this one. Why do people like Legos so much? And my son turned 6 this week, Jared did, and we went to Legoland, and I understood after being there that Legos break also when you drop them. I understood after being there that Legos can be a lot of fun to build with. I've never really played them much, but some of you kids in here like Legos. That's something you enjoy doing. That might be a toy for you. Men, ladies, baseball, sports, a toy, more Legos. As we get older, our hobbies sometimes change, and maybe your toy becomes cars, and I didn't want to bring, but a Corvette's a good thing to bring, but maybe you just enjoy toys, and as we get older, our toys are not maybe the same as they were, but our toys and our hobbies can get a little bit more expensive. I asked my wife, I said, what do women like doing? Because I'm not a lady, I don't know what ladies' toys are, and the best thing I come up with is shopping. Ladies, I think a toy for you, something you enjoy doing would be shopping, and then candy, ladies. I know a lot of ladies enjoy candy. A lot of men enjoy candy, too. I guess I should be safe and keep myself from getting in trouble. And then, guys, I know one of the toys I've kind of gotten enjoyable recently is I've been enjoying golf. And I know some of you all enjoy golf. But I just put those things here because tonight we're going to talk about toys and some things that are toys and some things that are not toys. Joshua chapter number 6. If you're familiar with the story, this is the story right after the children of Israel take Jericho. Joshua chapter number 6, we'll pick up in the middle of the story at verse number 15 if we can. And the Bible says, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. I'm sorry, let's jump back to chapter number 6. I thought that's right in the middle of it. Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day, this is the children of Israel marching around the first 6 days, one day, the seventh day, seven times, that they arose early about the dawning of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Notice verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. So when we think about a curse, usually we think about, I don't know about you, but maybe pirates or something like that. We think something that's cursed is a bad thing. But this says, the city shall be accursed, all that are in to the Lord. In other words, not necessarily a curse like there's a spell on them, but a curse meaning set apart for something else. God says, these things are cursed for you to have personally, because everything that the spoil of Jericho belongs to me. You keep on reading, you'll see what he says. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come in the treasury of the Lord. We know the story, okay? So right after they're in the middle of marching, they get the orders. And the orders are, you're going to go and you're going to take Jericho. But everything in Jericho, the spoil of Jericho, is not yours. The city and everyone's supposed to be killed, and the city's supposed to be burned, and all the things that are precious, the gold, the silver, the things of value, are all consecrated on the Lord. They belong to God. Therefore, if you steal them, you are literally stealing from God. You are robbing God. Joshua chapter number 7, and a familiar passage, but one I hope that we don't just kind of dismiss because we've heard the story of Achan before. Most of us in here are familiar with the story of Achan, but we're going to take a little bit of time tonight to go through this story and see some things that I think are very, very applicable to each and every one of us. Verse number 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, The son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Here's the subject I want to preach to you about tonight. It's very simple. Sin is not a toy. Sin is not a toy. Interestingly enough, today we end up preaching on judgment on hell and on sin, two things that most churches across our country kind of shy away from. And it's really interesting because I had no intention of preaching this. I spent a lot of hours studying about Mary and Martha, and I really thought I was going to preach about being cumbered about much service. That's what I thought I was going to speak about. But the Lord led me away from that and led me this passage this afternoon, so I'm very thankful for that. And so I want you to know, as I pulled in the parking lot, I was driving from my house here, looked down at our church, and I saw the cars in the parking lot. I just want you to know, it's not a light thing as a preacher to know that you're speaking really on behalf of the Lord and taking the Word of God and sharing with people. And I take it very serious that no one came to church tonight to hear me speak. Not one person's in this building tonight because they drove hours because Jesse Latta was speaking. That's not why you're here. You came tonight because you want the Lord to speak to your heart. And I want you to pray as I'm praying. I'm praying the Lord would use this message, His Word, to speak to our hearts. But would you pray while I'm praying and ask the Lord to speak to your heart tonight about this subject? It's a very serious subject, and I think something that's going to, like I said, apply to each and every one of us. Father, we thank You for this time we have together to open the Word of God. And Lord, I'm very mindful, Lord, that what a privilege it is to open the Word of God and, Lord, to expound this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we're going to realize tonight just how serious You take sin. And I pray, Lord, tonight that You'd help me, Lord, keep from my lips anything that shouldn't be said. And I pray, Lord, that I would preach the Word of God with power. And I pray, Lord, that You would fill me with Your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, for every person who's here tonight, may we each be Spirit-filled listeners. And I pray, Lord, that as the message goes forth, I pray, Lord, that it would fall on ears and hearts that are ready and receptive to hear it. And I pray, Lord, tonight that You'd do an abiding work in our hearts so it'd be more than just a message we hear, but, Lord, may it change our behavior in our life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have lots and lots of toys, as we just got done saying, but sin is not one of those toys. But unfortunately, for many of us, sin is the toy we play with most. You probably, for many people in this room, there's some sin in your life that you play with more than you play with your Legos, or more than you play with your laptop, or more than you play with your car. Because, you know, sin is fun for a season. The Bible says that. But we're going to learn this passage that God takes sin very seriously, and the consequences of sin are even more serious. In verse number 1, we see this thought, that God hates sin. The Bible says the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. Look at this. And the Bible says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. You know, God hates sin. And sometimes we in our lives start getting the idea that sin's not really that bad. We kind of consider sin like it's a pet. And it's something that really is like a toy. And we can play with it and it really doesn't affect us. But I remind you that God hates sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for sin, because of sin. Verse number 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Now, is this a sin on Israel's part? That's kind of debated. But they just got done taking Jericho, a city that really was not able to be taken. And God worked a miracle. The walls came down. They destroyed Jericho. And so they go up to Ai, and there's only 30,000 people or so there. And they think, not everyone needs to go. Let's just send 3,000 men up there. But there's something that happened in this passage. And if you go back to the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, you understand that God promised them, hey, wherever your foot trods, it's yours. And no enemy that stands before you can prosper because I am the Lord, the God, and I'm fighting for you. But the problem was God promised them that they had to keep their hearts and obey the commandments. The commandment was very simple in Joshua chapter 6. Do not touch the accursed thing. If you touch the accursed thing, you will not just hurt yourself, but this is interesting. You'll trouble all of Israel. Verse number 3, we see what happens. And they returned to Joshua, verse 4. So they went up thither to the men, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them up in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. May I just make this comment to you? We're just going to kind of comment as we go through. Sin affects others. Most of us live our lives and we think, this is my sin. And it really isn't that bad because it only affects me and I have a choice. And may I say to every man here especially that when you became a man, when you became a father, you have a lot of responsibility on your shoulders. Mothers, you have a lot of responsibility on your shoulders because not only does your sin affect you, if you're married, your sin affects your spouse. But if you're a father and mother, your sin affects your kids. I was preparing to preach. I was on the couch this afternoon and Chase comes out. And most of y'all know Chase. He's kind of our wild child. And Chase comes out and he just starts talking to me and just asking me the funniest question about his bow tie. Just having a good time. And in my mind, I was studying this passage. I just thought, I don't want to ever do anything that would jeopardize and affect my children. And you'd say the exact same thing. But may I remind you of this? Every time that we sin and think that sin's a toy we can play with, we are playing with something that's very, very valuable. And that is the lives, the influence we have on our kids, the opportunity we have to raise them for the glory of God. If you're a member of this church, when you play with sin, it affects other people. Look at this passage. Achan sins. And notice, Achan, we don't know if he's in the battle or not, but Achan doesn't die. But 36 men die. And look at the end of verse number 5. It says, the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Because one man chose to disobey and play around with sin, all Israel, the Bible says, they melted, their hearts are as water. But keep on reading verse number 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? Would to God we have been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around and cut off your name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Do you notice what happens? Joshua is greatly affected by the sin of Achan. And at this time, no one knows it's Achan. There's sin in the camp, and it is affecting not just Achan. As a matter of fact, Achan's not really affected much yet. But it's affecting, notice, all of Israel. And look who it affected. God gives a little insight here. When we sin as a body of people, it affects our leaders. Do you notice that? It says Joshua's on his face and all the elders of Israel. May I tell you, when you're a member of Heritage Baptist Church, your sin and your lifestyle affects other people. The choices we make affect other people. And some of y'all say, well, it's not really, I mean, I just come on Sunday mornings and Sunday, I'm not really involved. You're a member of this church. This is, the church is us, it's the body of believers. And your sin affects other people. No one knew it was Achan yet, but Achan sinned and Joshua was on his face and they're just about ready to give up. And they honestly said, would to God we were just on the other side of Jordan. I mean, their hearts are broken. They're just discouraged. And may I tell you that I have the opportunity to work on our church staff, and sometimes I'm there when pastor receives news or gets a phone call, and sometimes I have to be the bearer of news if I notice someone visit, hey, this person's not coming back to church, or this person having marriage problems. And may I tell you, I've watched our pastor, I've just watched his heart, you can just see his heart breaks. Because as a church, and deacons, and Sunday school teachers, when you sin, you affect the leadership of this church. And may I tell you that sin is not a toy. Verse number 10. And the Lord said to Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? And he says this, Israel hath sinned. And when you and I think about this, we'd say, no, they didn't. We'd say, Achan sinned. But I want you to notice that God said, Israel hath sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they even have taken of the accursed thing, also have stolen, and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Do you notice what God says right here? God says that Israel is transgressed, and he says this, you can never know victory until you deal with this sin. And in our lives, do you know what too often we try to do? We try to say, there's just this one area of my life and I know I'm doing things wrong. And we forget that when we have sin in our life, unconfessed sin, it affects our prayer life. We forget that it affects our life totally. And you can never have the victory in the Christian life that Jesus Christ has promised when there's unconfessed sin in your life. And we see this in Israel. And we see that Achan's affecting the entire nation of Israel. And God says, you cannot defeat Ai. You'll never be able to defeat Ai because with me, you can never lose. But when there's sin, when there's a breach of the fellowship between us and God, victory will not be known. So notice what he says in verse number 13. Up, Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the households which the Lord shall take come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly on Israel. Verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by tribes. The tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah. He took the family of the Zerahites. And he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Now I want you to stop for just a second and put yourself in the story. If you're Achan, and you know what's going on, at what point would you start saying, I'm in trouble? Judah's taken. Zerahites, Zabdi. I mean, judgment's coming. I often wonder in my own heart in this passage, what would have been different had Achan stepped up early and said, you know what, I've done something I shouldn't have done. I've done this to Israel. I often wonder, would God have withheld his judgment the way he judged Achan because of his sin? And the answer is, we don't really know for sure. But not until verse 15 does it say that he shall be burnt with fire, he and all he hath. So jump down to verse number 18. And he brought his household man by man. And Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord of God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Now, just for a moment, I want you to stop and think. Achan's standing there, and a lot of commentators even disagree on this, but Achan stands up and says, indeed, I have sinned. May I tell you that that's a lot like we are? We often won't confess to sin and ask God to deal with our sin until we're absolutely caught and there's no way around it. Too often, I'm afraid that our confession is really just an admission of guilt and not a confession against the holy God. I'm not saying Achan wasn't. A matter of fact, most people think that Achan was sincere here, and I really can't say that he wasn't. But Achan says, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, and thus have I done. But may I tell you the bad news for Achan? It's too late. It's too late. And by the way, this story has a horrible ending. I'm going to tell you the ending. But the point of this message is that we never get to the point where Achan got to, where it was too late. And I believe this passage in the Bible so that for all of us tonight, God will confront us with our sin. And we can say, you know what? I don't want to wait until I'm caught and there's no way around the judgment of God. I want to deal with this sin in my life, this toy I'm playing with. I want to deal with it right now when God has my attention. So here's what Achan says. And this have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. And then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under. Now, this is very interesting. He says a couple words here that are repeated throughout the Bible. If you have your Bible, I'd encourage you, leave your something to mark it here. But go back to Genesis chapter number 3. He says, I saw, I coveted, I took. Genesis chapter 3, we have the story here of man's first sin. I want you to notice what Eve says in verse number 6. The Bible says about Eve. And you'll notice the word, maybe even mark him, this might help you. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she saw something, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. You know what she began to do when she saw something? She coveted. Guess what Achan did? I saw, I coveted, and look what Eve did. And did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. You notice what happened? When we see something we shouldn't see, we begin to covet it if we allow our hearts to do that. And when we see things we shouldn't see, and see something that we want, and we covet it, it's only a matter of time before we take it. You say, show it to me again. Would you take your Bible and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11? 2 Samuel chapter number 11, another familiar story that you're going to catch. And I think it's good sometimes when we see how sin portrays and how sin plays out, it's good for us to see it and know how we can guard against it. 2 Samuel chapter number 11, and we'll look at verse number 2. The Bible said, it came to pass in eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he There it is. He saw a woman bathing herself, washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. You know what he's doing right now? He's coveting. He saw something and he begins to covet it. And here's what it says. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and what? Took her. Do you see it? It's the same every time. Sin, a matter of fact, temptation, we talked about this in our youth department Wednesday night, temptation's been the same. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The desire to do, the desire to be, the desire to have. It's always the exact same way in our lives. And if we know how Satan works, we know how temptation works, we know how sin works, we can guard against it. The Bible teaches us that we're not supposed to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And many times we just live our lives and we think, the devil's not out to get us. May I tell you, the devil is out to get you. But the time that we are reminded that the devil's not out to get you and get me because we're something. The devil's out to get us because we're God's children. And the devil doesn't necessarily want to destroy you, although that's great if he can do that. Excuse me, that's not great if he can do that. That's wonderful for him if he can do that. He's after the Lord. He wants to do everything he can to blaspheme the Lord and to attack God in his name. And he did here with Achan. There's no doubt about it. He attacked all of Israel. But I want you to go over just a couple verses here in 2 Samuel. Would you turn over to the next chapter, 2 Samuel? Actually, chapter 12, verse number 11. I'm going to get back to it myself. This is the story of Nathan. And it's interesting what insight we get here into the same situation that Achan's in. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 11. And I apologize, that might not be the right verse. It is. "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them to thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun." Verse 12. "For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun." You know, it's often true in Scripture that public sin produces public consequences. David did something secretly that only a few people know about, and in his heart he thought he had a toy that he was playing with and no one ever find out. Achan stole something, and Achan thought it's hidden, no one will ever find it. But God has this principle that when we sin publicly, our consequences are often public consequences. We don't like that, we don't want it that way, but that's the way the Word of God works. Go back to our passage here in Joshua chapter number 7, if you would. And verse number 22. Bible says, "So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And behold, it was hidden in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold." And right now, we all agree this is good. I mean, Achan's sin, Achan deserves punishment. But the next few words, if you're a parent, I hope grip your heart. "And his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he hath, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor." Do you know what the valley of Achor means? Valley of Achor is the valley of trouble. It was named that way because of Achan. If you go back to Joshua chapter 6, he said, "If you take the accursed thing, you will trouble all of Israel." Notice what happens here in the next verse. "And Joshua said, Why hast thou thus troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones on this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor until this day." It's so sad what happens in this story. And every one of us in our humanity think it just doesn't seem fair that Achan suffered like he had. I mean, Achan stole something he should have taken, but we have to be reminded that God hates sin. And we have to be reminded that the consequence of our sin, we can choose our sin, but we cannot choose the consequences. All of us would love to choose our sin and choose the consequences. But you know what happens when we find a toy that we like, and it's not football, but something in your life that you think, oh, it's not really affecting me. When you start playing with that sin, You can choose that sin, you can choose to do that sin, but may I remind you that you may not choose the consequences of your sin. What's sad in this story is something that's often missed, and I'd like to show it to you. Would you jump over to chapter 8, verse 1? "And the Lord said to Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof. Remember what Achan wanted so bad? The spoil, Jericho. You know, often in our lives we want things, and it's not necessarily all that bad that we want something. But sometimes we get ahead of the Lord, and we want things our timing, our way. And what's sad in this story is that Achan died, and his family, and troubled all of Israel, 36 men, and the entire nation is distraught over something. If Achan would have just patiently waited on the Lord, he had it the very next verse. He would have had it. Keep on reading. The spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Jump down to verse number 25. And so it was that all that fell that day, both the men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. And Joshua drew nigh his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. If Achan would have but waited on God's timing, and may I make a couple maybe applications here? Teenagers, as teenagers and as singles, young adults who are not married, there are things physically that you want. And may I tell you that in this story, Achan wanted something, and the spoil, wanting spoil was not a bad thing. But he got ahead of the Lord. It wasn't God's timing. And may I tell you, there are some things as teenagers, young adults, there's pressure there. Especially physically speaking, I'm talking about. And if you'll just wait on God's timing, God has all the best for you if you'll just simply wait in the Lord. But if you'll be like Achan and say, I want what I want now, and I'm just going to hide it. No one's ever going to find out. But may I tell you that there's always consequences, and there's always regret. And I'm not going to tell you that what happened to Achan's going to happen to you. But I can promise you this, that if you don't wait for God's timing, you will not like the results, and you will not like the consequences. And I guarantee you, if Achan could go back in time, I guarantee you Achan would say, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth taking the Babylonian garment. It wasn't worth the silver. It wasn't worth the gold. And in our lives, if we have hindsight, which we always do afterwards, in our lives, adults, we could all look at our lives and say, you know what, I wish I wouldn't have done this because here's the consequences. And if I would have known what the consequence was, I never would have. But may I tell you that each of us have to look at our lives now and say, there's some things that we've done in our lives that we can't take back. We can't take the consequences back. But you know, every single one of us in this room, it's sad to say, but every single one of us, there's some things in our life that trip us up. The Bible refers to the sin that so easily besets us. I don't know what it is for you, and you don't know what it is for me, but each of us have things in our lives that we could be like an Achan, and we could say, you know what? No one's ever going to find out about it. Achan hid it, and by the way, no one knew about it. Achan thought he got away with it, but the consequences of Achan's sin, he couldn't escape them. I'd like to make a few closing comments here about some things we learned about sin. Number one, we are all guilty of justifying sin. We're all guilty of it. You know, the first time you sin, it's like, oh, I don't want to do this. But after you do it once, for some reason, we can live our lives just justifying our sin. I mean, it's not really that bad. Number two, we are all guilty at times of thinking we are above the rules. Maybe it's on a job, maybe it's in the church, maybe it's in your family, and there's some rules that you just know you're supposed to abide by, but we can get to the point where those rules don't affect me. And we can all be guilty of that, and that's exactly what happened to Achan. Number three, we all think that somehow our sins won't have consequences. All of us do. We all think that, I can sin, and it has no consequences. Number four, we often find ourselves acknowledging our being caught to others rather than confessing our sins to an all-knowing God. Let me say that again because I think that's so profound. We often find ourselves acknowledging our being caught to others rather than confessing our sins to an all-knowing God. You know what's in David's situation? David never confesses to Bathsheba until Nathan gets in his face and says, "You're the man." Achan never came forward and said, hey, look, it's my fault. It was me. I troubled Israel, please. Until Joshua says to him, hey, look, we all know it's you. Why don't you just confess the glory of the Lord? It's so sad that in our lives, way too often, in our marriages, as children to parents, our times of confession are not really confession. They're more acknowledging that we got caught. And may I tell you that acknowledging that we got caught, although the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. That is absolutely in the Bible, and I'm not trying to take away from that verse. But too often I'm afraid that our confessing is not what the Bible's talking about. Too often I think our confessing is, you know what, I shouldn't have done it. You're right. And there's no heart cry. There's no brokenness. You know, in Psalm chapter 51, you want to see repentance? Look at David's life. When he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. I mean, David says before God, God, I'm dirty. And this was at a later date. This wasn't in front of Nathan. God had to get hold of David's life and say, David, your sin has consequences. And David finally comes to the realization where he really confesses his sins before the Lord. This is a really interesting one. Sin is deceitful. You know what sin does for all of us? It deceives us. We all think it's not that big of a deal. And somehow after we start sinning, we think, you know what? This really, I mean, it's not really that bad. We've justified it. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is very deceitful. And Satan is the deceiver, the Bible says. And he loved nothing more than for you to think that your sin is not affecting anybody. And may I tell you, the Bible still says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. The Bible still says, be sure your sin will find you out. There's always consequences to sin. And like I said earlier, we can choose our sin, but we can never choose a consequence. Last thing. Sin is always the master, and we are always the slave. We have this idea that, hey, you know what? I have this toy and no one else knows about it, but it's only affecting me and I do when I want to. And it's almost as if we have a little pet sin. And we think, you know what? No one else knows about it. It's hidden. But may I let you know that the first time you do it, you may think you're in control. But when you have a toy sin, when you have a pet sin in your life, it is always the master and you are always slave to it. I'd like to give an illustration and close with this. It's an Indian proverb. Some of you all heard this before. It's the story of a young man who's climbing up a mountain. And he gets to the top of the mountain, he looks over, and there's a rattlesnake on the ground. Maybe you've heard this story before. There's a rattlesnake, and the rattlesnake starts talking to him. Of course, we know snakes don't talk, so just follow the story, okay? And the rattlesnake says, I'm so cold. Please take me down the mountain. I'm old, and I'm going to die from up here. And the Indian says to the rattlesnake, you're a snake. If I pick you up, you're going to bite me. And the snake says, I will not bite you. And he says, you're a snake. This is what's going to happen. And he says, okay, tell you what. Get a stick and hold a long stick out, and I'll coil around a stick. So the Indian thinks, that's not such a bad idea. So he takes a stick and he starts going down the mountain. Gets down a little bit further, and the snake says, you know, I'm still so cold. And he says, you're a snake. If I let you close to me, you're going to bite me. And the snake says, you know what? I'm really not like you think I am. Put me in your backpack and carry me down the mountain. And I promise I won't bite you. Get down the mountain a little bit more, and the snake starts slithering and talk again. And he says, what's going on? And the snake says, I am so cold. Would you please put me on your chest so I can feel your body warmth? And I promise I won't bite you. Story goes, the Indian gets all the way down the mountain. Gets to the mountain and gets ready to pull the snake out of his shirt. And guess what the snake does? He bites him. And the Indian was angry, and the Indian said, why did you bite me? And it's very profound. The snake said, I'm a snake. I bite people. That's what I do. May I tell you this? The sad thing about that is that all of us in our life, we think we have some sin under control and it's on a stick and we can play with it we want to and it's not affecting us, it's out there. And then as we start playing with sin, it gets closer and closer to us. And someday, if it hasn't happened already, that sin, like a snake, is going to attack and strike you. And when that happens, you're going to say, I just can't believe this happened. And I want you to be reminded this one thing, that sin is always the slave, the master, and you are always a slave. It's always in control. And as long as you want that sin in your life, you will always be slave to it. And you can never be a servant of Christ like you should if you're a slave to sin. The challenge is very simple tonight. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You know what Achan did? Covered his sins, and no one knew about it. But he says this, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. May I ask and challenge you tonight? I don't know what is in your life, but too many of us, if not all of us, have some sin in our life that we think is just a toy. And I just want to remind you tonight from the Word of God, sin is not a toy. If there's some sin in your life, you say, Brother Ladd, you know, I have confessed it, and I've tried stopping. May I tell you one of the secrets to it? Not just confessing, But confessing and forsaking, doing everything you can to get away from it, to throw it away, accountability, whatever it is in your life. But I don't want this. The thing in my life that grips me more than anything is the fact that I realize now that although I'm a staff member, I don't want to do anything to hurt this church. I would never want to do anything. I think often people ask me about our church, and I say, you know what? Honestly, a lot of times I'm just trying to do everything I can not to be an Aiken. Honestly. And you know what happened with Achan? Achan affected the entire Israel camp. Do you not think if God allowed that to affect all of Israel, that your sin won't affect this church? But you know what, for me, I think God really has my attention because I'm a father, is realizing that as a leader in my home, my sin does not just affect me. My sin affects my wife and it affects my children. And would to God, I would rather die than do anything to harm my church and my family. And that's the kind of spirit we need in our lives. I need in my life if I'm going to live for God a life that's faithful and true. I don't know what it is for you, but I hope God deals with your heart tonight. And maybe you say, you know what, things are going really well. You know what I would encourage you to do? Maybe you just find a place at the altar tonight and say, Lord, with all my heart, I don't ever want to be an Aiken. Lord, if there's something in my life that I don't know about, maybe you've been deceived and maybe there's some sin you're playing that you don't even know. Maybe it's a good thing to find an altar tonight and just pray, Lord, help me not to be deceived by sin and help me never to be an Aiken. Could we all stand and we have a hymn of invitation? We'll have a word of prayer. And as God speaks to your heart tonight, I'd encourage you, if God's dealing with your heart tonight, I encourage you to find a place at the altar and do business with the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I'm the first to confess, Father, that in my life I want to be holy and perfectly right with you. And I pray, Lord, for me and for every person in this room tonight, Lord, may each of us, Father, Lord, do business with you. Lord, if there's some sin we need to confess, help us to. And I pray, Lord, that many people in this night, Lord, would just determine to fight sin, Lord, and to be ever so careful, Lord, not to allow things into our life that could deceive us and wreck and ruin us. I pray tonight that you do eternal work in our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.